Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, hour number two. What's happening? Tinky and Tierney coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Found their better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. So the Braves and the Redbirds about an hour or so away, and we'll have that game up in the studio. We're all over that, of course. The Dodgers and the Nats tonight, Strasburg and Bueller. Going to be a lot of fun, obviously, the Dodgers. The Yankees getting to chill and wait a little bit. Game one coming up on Saturday of the American League Championship Series. The Rays and the Astros still grinding a bit there. So it is a fun time of the year. Some good college football coming up this weekend. Now, by the way, tomorrow, as we strongly surmised, and this is finally official here, Saquon Barkley will not play for the Giants.
Yep, not necessary.
No, I agree. But with Shepard out with a concussion, mm-hmm. Ingram out with the AC joint, no Saquon Barkley. How did they score 10 points against the Pats on a short week against Belichick?
I'm not sure. And I don't know. Have we got any update on Wayne Gallman?
I have not gotten that.
It's funny because they keep talking about Saquon.
Yeah.
But if Saquon's not playing and then Wayne Gallman's still out, it's who is it, Hillman?
I think it would be Hillman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that Gallman's going to play, though.
He got knocked out.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be a tough game to watch.
It's going to be a really tough on a short week, no less.
Against Belichick up there.
Yeah.
And let's face it.
Could be ugly.
The Giants have beaten them twice in the Super Bowl. And any chance the Pats get, to kind of send a little zing to the Giants, even though Belichick respects the Giants, like, unlike when he used to work for
you're
the
saying
Jets.
Like, you're saying like a 54-7 type game.
I don't. You know what it is? It's fun. Not that. Although, what is it, 17? I don't know how you bet the Giants.
16 and a half yesterday, probably 17 at this point, especially because Saquon's out. I mean, heck, he might go over 17.
You probably want to stay away from that, or maybe, I don't even think there's going to be a money line for the past year. It would just be too astronomical. You'd have to lay weight. It would be like minus 800 or whatever it would be. It's going to be a tough game to watch. Mm-hmm. I really think it's going to be a tough one, and I think the Pats, they're probably smart enough to, they would never say this, but they know that they can win by being very benign and not going too deep into their playbook, not putting anything on film.
That's a good point.
That's why I don't think they'll score 50-something.
So it could be really boring, too.
I could see 23-3. We'll see. But speaking of the NFL, one trend we can't ignore. And listen, this happens in years past, although, to be honest, it seems far more pronounced this year. And two recent examples, the volatility of the league. Mm-hmm. The Packers, two Thursdays ago, get absolutely, utterly owned by the Eagles in Green Bay. They come back, they thoroughly thrash the Cowboys in Dallas.
Yep.
All right. The Browns, who are not on the same level as those teams, but still, the Browns absolutely trashed the Ravens, right? Trash them. They were underdogs. They win the game straight up. They scored 40 points, whatever it was. Thoroughly outmuscled and outclassed by the 49ers the next game. It's like up, down, up, down. It's like a ski slope.
Yeah. And then you try to compare. Does this mean the 49ers are this much better, than the Baltimore Ravens?
Oh, there's always extrapolation involved.
Like, you throw that middle team in, Cleveland Browns being the constant, and then now you want to compare the Ravens. Oh, the Ravens wouldn't have a shot if they played the San Francisco 49ers, but we don't know what that's going
to happen. No, we don't, but people definitely do that a lot. You're right.
You have to do it. You can't not do that, especially when it's that stark of a difference between, the wins and losses. What do I think is happening? I think, one, there are a lot of young quarterbacks in the league right now. And we talked about this early in the season as being a good thing. The proverbial changing of the guard. It's happening either with attrition, guys retiring like Andrew Luck, guys getting hurt like Big Ben, and some of these young players who are exciting as hell. Pat Mahomes in his second year won the MVP.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson, threw for 350 yards and 5 touchdowns in his first start of his second season. And so it just felt like, man, this is happening. This is good. These offenses are changing. What we forget sometimes is that there is a consistency that comes with being in the league for 8, 9, 10 years. Like, there's a preparation process. There is a evaluation of different defensive schemes. There's a familiarity with different coordinators. And I'll give you, for example, the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, their coordinator used to be, like, aggressive as hell in attacking offenses. And so he'd mug everybody. And he'd put, you know, there's four down linemen, and there's a guy in every single gap. So it's just like a straight line across the board. And the first time you see it, you're like, what do we do here? Like, mm-hmm. We can't block all these people. You know that they're not all coming. And eventually, you know, like a year and a half later, you start realizing, well, two of these guys are backing out,
mm-hmm.
right? And so it's just a matter of identifying, are there two coming up the middle? Are there two coming on the edges? Are there two coming from the right side? Are there two coming from the left side? And so, familiarity slows it down for you. You process it differently. All of these young quarterbacks, on a week-to-week basis, because they're not familiar with what they're seeing, the different types of defenses, the different coordinators that they run into, the different schemes that they come across, they're not ready for it. And so what happens is they have a terrible day, like Lamar Jackson had against the Cleveland Browns, like Baker Mayfield had against the San Francisco 49ers. It happens because they're so young. It's going to take two years for these young, great quarterbacks, or at least evolving great quarterbacks, to truly be great. You know what I mean? So that's what I see as the biggest issue. It's inconsistency at the quarterback position because they're so young.
Okay. That certainly makes a world of sense, but I want to flip this back to you because I'm starting to see something else now, too, mm-hmm. in addition to what you just said, for sure. The run defenses.
Horrible.
The sporadic, just...
They're horrible.
And it's getting worse.
BT, you're not supposed to go 80 yards in football games.
And untouched,
it happens three or four times a weekend.
You start to see it a lot. And think about how they changed, because I used the word volatility to start the segment here. The week-to-week volatility in scores and just how storylines have changed. The run defense for the Packers was horrendous against the Eagles.
Yep.
But then the next game the Packers played, the run defense for the team that they played against, Dallas, was horrendous.
That's right.
The 49ers.
Yeah.
They just ran all over the Browns, despite the Browns with Greedy Williams and Denzel Ward. Really, Denzel Ward and Greedy Williams. That's the order.
Yeah.
Denzel Ward's a terrific young player. Greedy, we'll see. Their secondary was in shambles, but the big boys up front are supposed to be pretty good. They ran it right down their throats. I hear you on the quarterback play, seeing things that aren't there, not seeing things mm-hmm. that are, being rushed and being new, but what the hell's the excuse for the run defenses around the NFL?
I hate to toss it back to what we've talked about so many times, but it's like you don't hit anymore in the preseason. Like you don't, there's this emphasis on player safety. And so the physicality that we used to see where it was just, I mean, those dudes used to be nasty
mm-hmm.
in the trenches. I mean, like doing stuff that was gross. I'm telling you, right?
I hear you.
It was dirty. And, you know, whoever was dirtiest won.
Yep.
And whoever had, you know, five guys who would be dirty to the four guys that they were facing. I mean, that's how you won. And if it could be the other way around. Defensive linemen, I mean, it would just mean, right? And aggressive and violent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it's been legislated a little bit out of the game. And so it's funny you say that about run defense is obviously that pops in my head because I actually love it from the offensive side.
Yeah, sure.
I love to see a guy go 80 yards. Right?
What would you do? What would you? I've never asked you this question. What would you be today?
In the right system,
I'd
probably be like Christian McCaffrey is. They'd use me as a runner and a receiver.
Yeah.
I don't disagree.
I
don't know if I could. You know, I mean, he's averaging like 88% or 89% of the snaps.
He plays one game. He played every snap.
There was three. He's played every snap.
I thought it was one.
I'm like,
wow.
Come on, dude.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I could do that because he's built differently. He's a stud.
He's thick.
He's mm-hmm. a stud. He looks like he's small, but he's not. He's actually jacked. I would probably be like that, and I'd have a couple of those plays every now and then. I wasn't the fastest, but I had like runaway speed.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love playing in this era because it's because you mentioned that like run defenses, and it pops in my head. You're like, you're right. I see it every week. Like somebody. Like Leonard Fournette went 80-something yards, 70-something yards. Like Leonard Fournette.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
I mean? Did it last year, too.
I know he did, but he did it this year.
I remember,
when he rushed for 220-something yards.
I think that was two games ago, not this past week, the week before.
2 weeks ago.
Week three or week four.
What's going on? And then when you go back and rewatch those plays,
yeah.
You know, forget the game. Just rewatch the play. You see a lot of catching. Like you see defensive linemen catching or linebackers catching the block. Like they don't use their hands as well. They don't shed. They don't like explode. Like, what made, you know, like the Ray Lewis is the world so great
mm-hmm.
is that if you came to block him, he was trying to knock you out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't care if you were a guard or a fullback or whatever. If you came to like crack on him, he's trying to knock you out, right? So they were aggressive. Now you see a lot of catching. And if you're going to catch, then running backs are going to take advantage of you. And that's what we keep seeing.
It's ugly. And the reason why, I mean, I'm going to leave the X's and the O's to you, but I would certainly deduce that the reason why these linebackers are catching is because they don't want to get burned down the
seam,
12-15 yards down the field.
It's such a passing league.
They're worried about pass coverage.
It's flipping. You know, it's flipping. We talk about being a passing-first league, but what plagues the Cleveland Browns on certain days? They don't run the ball effectively.
Yep.
But if they did, they'd be able to throw the ball more effectively. So it's like this cyclical thing. It's starting to come back, right? We're starting to see the Christian McCaffreys of the world and, Saquon Barkley when he's healthy. When you have that guy who is just game-changing in a sense, it changes your offense in so many different ways. And it's why, you know, Zeke got paid. It's why Saquon is going to get paid. It's why, you know, Christian McCaffrey is going to get paid.
Kamara
is going to get, he's going to get paid because they're difference makers in the ground game. Even though it feels like that's not the big part of football, it's a passing league. If you have one of those guys, it matters significantly.
I wanted to play something for you that part of the conversation we had yesterday with Carson Palmer, 14 years in the NFL, first overall pick back of the day out of USC, blew out his knee early,
mm-hmm.
Came back and played for three teams, three totally different situations, the Bengals, the Raiders, the Arizona Cardinals, all three were kind of trying, really in the process of being revived, if you think about it, because he was taken first overall by Reese for a reason,
yep.
because the Bengals weren't good. He was basically lured off his couch because Hugh Jackson was desperate, and the Raiders were okay, and Jason Campbell got hurt, and they're like, let's try to coerce him out of retirement, and yep. then, of course, the Arizona Cardinals with our buddy Bruce Arians. So his perspective is incredible. I just want to make sure I set this up properly. This cut is about when we asked about Disa, why don't you tell us exactly what this cut is about, rather than me guess?
Yesterday you asked Carson Palmer, who is the most talented quarterback in
NFL? Okay. This is the one that really surprised us. This is a good answer. Go ahead, guys. Yep.
It's somebody that probably a lot of people wouldn't put at the top of their list, but Matthew Stafford.
Wow.
I think Matthew Stafford has more talent than most of the quarterbacks in the league, you know, not named Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
But he plays for Detroit. You know, the quarterback position is so circumstantial. It's so based on the organization. If mm-hmm. you play for a good organization, you're going to have a very, very successful career. If you play for a bad organization, you're always going to be, you know, in some sort of, you know, it's turnover and change and firing coaches and firing GMs. But Matthew Stafford has played for Detroit for too long, and nobody knows he's as good as he is because they don't play him on Monday Night Football multiple times a year. They don't play a bunch on Sunday Night Football.
That was pretty, as you can tell yeah. by my reaction, I was genuinely caught off guard when he said Matthew Stafford.
It's not who I would have thought, you know, and they're 2-1-1 right now. They should be 3-1, having lost barely to the Chiefs. They screwed up week one and let the Cardinals come back and tie them. But they had the Chiefs dead to rights.
Mm-hmm.
They could have and should have won that game in a lot of people's estimation. They had the bye week this week. They'll get a test because coming off the bye week, they are on Monday Night Football
yep.
and Green Bay.
And that's going to be fun.
You're right. It's starting to start the season at the beginning of the year. You look at that matchup, you're like, yeah, okay,
mm-hmm.
not that interesting. Now it's really interesting.
It is.
Because it's for supremacy in the NFC North. One of these teams is going to be atop the top of the division after this weekend and have a chance to make a statement. And it's two veteran quarterbacks.
Yeah.
One of who doesn't get respect, one who does.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a good chance to change the narrative, at least for this season, depending on who wins this game.
Yeah, I'm with you, Teak. There's a lot of circumstances that are beginning to reveal themselves in that division, really in every division, but mm-hmm. specific to the NFC North here. You know, the London trip is always a little wacky. The logistics of travel, it's really hard to prepare you. So mm-hmm. I don't know if you fully invest in who the Bears are, you know, from a Chicago Bear point of view, if you might be worried based on how they played poorly against the Raiders. But they haven't looked great this year. They
no.
haven't looked great. And no. I didn't pick them to be a playoff team. I did not like the Bears coming in. So I'm not complete, although I'm a little surprised they lost to the Raiders. I'm not stunned that they're a little
yep.
uneven here. And, you know, I mean, the Vikings. All right, so they look good offensively finally here. Now, is that against Tiki's Giants? Is this who they become the rest of the way? Or are there intermittent bounce of ineffective offensive, but mystifyingly inept offensive performances. I don't know.
Or were the Giants so beat up at that point?
Or that?
It's not really indicative of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. I don't have a feel for this.
Well, we're gonna get some. I don't know either. But we're gonna get answers.
You're right.
All right. Here's what I want to throw at everybody, and I think I know the answer, but I certainly don't want to speak for you, the listeners out there. 1-855-212-4227. The game's obviously changed. You can't hit people. The schematics offensively are wildly different from the game that many of us grew up watching. Run defense appears to be optional right now. And I know it's fantasy driven. Trust me, I have a fantasy. I have two. You have two. I get it. But there's got to be limitations on sloppiness and what you're willing to sacrifice with the modern game. Let's take this temperature. Are you happy with the state of the NFL right now? You can incorporate officiating. You can incorporate young quarterback play, trends, however you want to answer this. But right now, 5 full weeks into the season, are you happy with the direction of the NFL? There's a lot of answers you can obviously choose from and directions you could take us. 1-855-212-4227. We'll get some calls on that. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. That little Bruce never hurt anybody here. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Just switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance here. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Baseball game 5 is roughly 30-something minutes away. First pitch, Braves and the Cards, somebody going home. We've got the Nats and the Dodgers tonight, so obviously it's a fun time of the year. And Tiki and I, just discussing the fluctuations in performance, the inconsistencies, how run defense seems to be optional these days, and the infusion of young quarterbacks. We thought it was a good day to throw it out at you, the consumer. Do you like the direction of the NFL? Are you enjoying what you're seeing so far 5 full weeks into the season?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting because it's unpredictable. But I don't know if that's a good thing all the time.
Let's find
out. Some of these teams that look good one week look horrendous the next.
That's true. Get some calls, see what's going on.
Yep, let's.
All right, let's start in Green Bay, Teak. Nathan's got us up on 107.5 FM. Nathan, Teak, and Tierney, how are you today?
Wonderful. How are you doing?
Good, man. What's up? What do you think?
So I just moved back from Colorado to Green Bay, and I'm super excited, to start watching football back in my hometown. And for the direction the NFL's been going, I mean, with all the divas, the drama, and then you got all the politics involved with everything going on in the NFL, I really just miss the smash-mouth football, letting players play. Did you see the roughing the passer call?
Yeah, it's every week. There's one every week, whether it was...
He tapped him on the head, and then a guy rushed for a first down. I mean...
Happens every game. There's a questionable call, and several of them have actually altered the course of the game result-wise. No doubt. Okay.
That's where I'm at right now.
All right,
thanks,
man. Yeah. So, the only thing, Teak, I would challenge on that is, really, since the Antonio Brown thing settled down, well, if you want to call Jalen Ramsey a diva, whatever he's trying to orchestrate and jack, it looks like he's going to try to play this week as well.
Yeah.
But I have heard no politics in the NFL this year.
No, there's no.
None at all. But he said that. He said the diva attitudes in the politics. Yeah, I don't feel that this year at all.
There's no politics at all, but there is a lot of divaness going on. And we actually hit this a couple weeks ago, BT, how... I mean, maybe there's an influence. I mean, there's got to, not maybe. I know it's for a fact there's an influence from the NBA and the movement that these guys feel like that they can orchestrate when they're unhappy or they're underpaid or whatever it is. It started with Le'Veon Bell where he raised a stink, ended up playing a season. Then he ended up sitting out a season and ultimately got what he wanted, moving somewhere else and getting the money that he wanted. He saw Zeke sitting out the whole offseason, even though we know that one was going to ultimately work its way out. But then
Melvin Gordon
set out for 3 games, and then Jalen Ramsey now is basically in season holding out. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. He's orchestrating an in season holdout,
and it's working. So he looks brilliant, unlike Melvin Gordon.
That's
exactly one of the dumbest holdouts of all time.
You're right. You get Stephon Diggs. Ridiculously losing $200,000 for missing practice because he's disgruntled with how Kirk Cousins is distributing the football. His his targets are down significantly from like 9 a couple years ago to about 3 or 4 a game, and he got pissed. So he sat out a couple of practices. So there's like this empowerment movement that just is odd. and then you get the inconsistencies of which are chalked up for various reasons. It's a weird year this year in the NFL, not to mention the penalties, which are always a big issue.
That's my biggest issue. Let's go to Las Vegas, Nevada. Shannon has us up on 11:40 a.m. Shannon, how are you today? Tiki and Tierney, what's going on?
How you doing, guys? I appreciate you taking my call.
You got it. Thanks for making it.
I'd like to say the NFL is at its highest peak for a couple of reasons, fantasy football and sports wagering.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the product on the field, it can never be how it was back in the late 70s through even the early 90s, where you had dominant football teams that played defense, that played offense. And one of the biggest things that nobody's mentioning is we had some great coaches back then.
Yeah,
you had Shula. You had the Pittsburgh coach. You had
Chuck
Mike Ditka.
Yep. Yeah.
You had the guy from Minnesota. These guys are a bunch of babies now, these coaches. They let players get away with everything they want to get away with. And one thing that I'd really like to mention is this, and tell me if you agree or not. I don't think that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback to ever play.
Oh, I can't co-sign that. Why?
Here's why. Because he's playing against teams and defenses over the past decade that can never compare to the teams of the 80s. Do you think he goes to the Super Bowl and beats Lawrence Taylor, the New York Giants?
No,
you're
the,
right.
Or the Washington Redskins, they had a great defense?
He couldn't beat the New York Giants with, Michael Strahan, who's great, and Justin
that's
right. Tuck.
Yeah, that's true. You throw Carl Banks in there, he's going to stop those guys.
Yeah, those – no, forget it. You're right, but that's what
Harry
he's –
Harry Carson.
But that's what he's given. It's the modern era of the game. I still think Brady's the best because he wins despite shortcomings and the guys around them and even the circumstances. Think of the game. Think of the Super Bowl against the Falcons. They had no business winning that game. I mean, maybe you can chalk this up to a choke job by the Atlanta Falcons, and most people would probably go that route.
Yep.
They still had to go score, 35 points?
Well,
in the
25
second
to tie. They were down 28-3.
Yeah, they still had to go score all those points in the second half. You still got to go do it. And so you got to give him credit for what he's accomplished, even if you don't think the competition is anywhere close to what used to be, especially on the defensive side of the NFL.
I gave up on that a long time ago. Now, there was a point where I would dig it and, mount the defense for Montana, mount the defense for Marino, Elway, more talented. He's just accomplished so much in terms of team accomplishment, individual accomplishment. I can't waste my time on that. But I will acknowledge, even though it's a subjective thing, so if you think he's not the greatest, I'm certainly fine with that. So our last caller, we all tend to romanticize for what was. We all kind of latch on and gravitate to that first true era of sports that we were introduced to. Like, I love, the late 80s, 90s in the NBA. Mm-hmm. I love it because it was just different, you know, for the reasons that everybody knows. But let's not misrepresent what some of the earlier Super Bowls were, all right? Because I forget his name. Oh, Shannon. Shannon's, back in the day, it was so much better. Yeah, would you really want to sit through, how about this doozy? This must have been a fun watch. Super Bowl V at the Orange Bowl in Miami. Baltimore 16, Dallas 13. Sounds like a hell of a shootout. How about Super Bowl VII at the L.A. Memorial Coliseum? Miami 14, the Redskins 7. Wow, what a fun game that must have been. I mean, so we can always cherry pick and just throw these things out there and say that it was definitively better back then. But history doesn't always match what some people tend to recreate in their minds.
True.
And those are just two early games.
Yeah.
Now, there was some shootouts, but there were some other boring ones. Dallas Super Bowl, that would be Super Bowl VI. This was in New Orleans, not even at the Super Bowl, at Tulane Stadium.
Wow.
How crazy is that? Miami, pardon me, this is Super Bowl IX. Pittsburgh won 16-6. Over the Minnesota Vikings. Now, the Vikings went 4 years in a row and they never won, right? The Purple People Eaters.
Yep.
The year before that, they went to the Super Bowl. They scored 7 points. So every time they went, they barely scored a touchdown. And I don't know if that 6 points in Super Bowl IX was a missed PAT or just the product of the byproduct of two field goals. I don't know. But let's be consistent.
Yep.
It wasn't always better back in the day, even though we want to kind of make
game,
it out to
the
be
the game
that
was
way.
Tougher back in the day, that's for sure.
That I'm not going to disagree with, no doubt about it. All right, 1-855-212-4227. We're going to get back to baseball. Brett Tomko, former Major League pitcher. Oh, boy, taking the slam on a must-have kind of a game. How much tighter do you squeeze that ball? How much tighter do you yank down that lampshade when you try to rip off that deuce? I mean, boy, the pressure, 60 feet, 6 inches away, nowhere to hide. And there's four gentlemen facing that today. We'll talk about that with Brent Topko. Hey, Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader. Many of you seeing, how good is Mick Jagger? Stones. Two of the most dynamic young quarterbacks in the game as they air it out when Mahomes and the Chiefs welcome Watson and the Texans, followed by the Cowboys visiting the Jets. Sam Darnold's back, though, so there we go. It all begins with JB and the guys getting ready for a big weekend of football, week six on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. What's that, D-cell? So Brett dropped? Okay, Brett dropped. Brett Topko, going to chat with him, former major league pitcher, and pitched a long time, 13, 14 years, 100 wins, bounced around a lot. And I'm curious. First, I'm going to ask him here. I'm curious, you know, because when you take the ball in a make or break situation, are you more aware of not walking guys or not getting hit hard, like giving up the big bomb? Because there's two totally different mindsets. You can really attack it two different ways.
True.
Because if you try to be too perfect, then you try to nibble, you can, you know, find yourself with a couple of guys on base early on because you walked a few guys. We're all set here, D-Cell. All right, so Brett is with us. Brett Topko, former major league pitcher. And he's the host of Believe in Dodgers podcast, and he does it with the Dodger dudes. It's on the Believe Podcast Network, 14 years in the show, and played for a lot of different teams. An Ohio boy, played for his hometown team as well. A nice baseball journey. Brett, Tiki and Tierney, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. You've been around the show for a long time. Good to have you. Been around the show a long time. And while it could be really awesome to be 60 feet, 6 inches away with all eyes on you, it could also be unnerving in a big spot. So the four gentlemen going today, varying degrees of success for sure, various stages of their career. When you walk from that bullpen before big game, what is it like compared to any other ordinary game over the course of 162?
I mean, gosh, when you get to the playoffs, I mean, it's everything. There's an electricity that is flowing from the minute you get to the stadium. That's different than, say, you know, game 51 of the season, where, you know, it doesn't really make or break your season. You know, today those guys, it's all on the line. It's winner go home. So there's a lot of pressure that's built up, but you know, when you finish that bullpen warm up and you're walking to the mound, there's almost a calmness that goes through your body too, where you've been prepared, you've gotten all the jitters out, and you're going in the dugout for that, you know, couple minutes before you go toe the rubber up, where it's almost like it's just like there's a sigh of relief, like, all right, we're here, let's do it.
Yep. You know what I've heard, and you've obviously lived this, but sometimes you're in the bullpen and everything feels horrendous. You go out there, you strike out 11 guys, you get a complete game gem. Sometimes, you know, it's the other way around. You just you never really know what you have when you leave the pen. What I am
not true. No, that's absolutely
okay. True. Gotcha, absolutely true. Yeah, but yeah. What I want to know specifically is when you get into a game where you have no wiggle room here, right? How quickly, if your secondary stuff isn't on point, how quickly should or does somebody abandon that?
You know, that's a great question, because you don't have a lot of wiggle room. From the first pitch, you know, the game could be over. A guy hits a solo home run to start the game. Like, that puts you, you know, at a deficit. So, you know, I think the thing what they have to really consider now is not to be too fine early in the game, and still you have to attack the strike zone, establish your fastball and your off-speed pitches, you know, early, because you want that command. If you don't have a feel for a pitch, you're going to try to really pick and choose where you use it. You know, if you're ahead in the count and you want to try to backdoor curveball just to get that feel for a second, you have to be careful, because, you know, at this point in the season and where these teams are at, one pitch could make the difference between, you know, going on to the championship series or packing your bags up and going home.
Yeah, and you talk about getting on to the championship series. There's two teams, one, the Houston Astros, who won the World Series 2 seasons ago, facing off against the Dodgers, or he's comparing them to the Dodgers, who they faced in that World Series and who went in the World Series last year and lost to the Red Sox. They both have extraordinarily high expectations coming into this postseason. 107 wins for the Astros, 106 for the Dodgers. Look, they're in elimination games. They could easily, because we know how this works. It's playoffs. It's October baseball. One of them could go home easily. They both could advance, but they both could also go home. Who would be the bigger disappointment in your mind?
Ah, man, that's tough. I mean, covering the Dodgers this year and being a Southern California kid and Dave Roberts is a buddy of mine. I know there's ton. The expectations are so massive. They were even talking about his head on a chopping block after last year when he lost the second World Series, where it's like, you've been in the World Series 2 years in a row. That doesn't even happen that often. So it's not easy to get there. So, you know, I think the fact that LA is a huge market and there's a huge, you know, payroll and the expectations on them have been, you know, crazy for the last 3 years. I think there's a lot of pressure on them. Houston, on the other hand, they have the pressure of, I think, across the board, if you talk to most people, they already had them penciled in the World Series and winning the World Series. Yeah. Everyone has said they have the best team. They have the best pitching staff. So, you know, the Rays coming out and almost like shocking the world. It's fun to watch as an underdog or something like that. You want to see, like, I would love to see the Rays win and pull off a huge upset because that's great for sport. But, you know, it's going to get dicey tonight. I'm as a baseball fan, you know, I'm taking the hat off of really analyzing the game and watching the games tonight. I'm excited.
Yeah. So am I. So always, no question. That's Brent Topko. Brett Topko, 10 teams. Not, so you can look at it this way. 9 teams got rid of you, but 10 teams wanted you.
It's all perspective. Yeah,
exactly. And Brett, 100 wins, by the way, so let's not leave that off the table. 100 wins in the show is no small feat, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
So obviously, like a lot of sports shows, we started our show talking about the DS with the Rays finding a way to beat the Astros. And, you know, I brought up what I heard from Big Papi. He said, you know, power pitchers pitching on short rest, especially a guy who'd never done it before with Justin Verlander, you know, it worried him a little bit. But I you know, just to advance the conversation, I wonder if A.J. Hinch deserves any criticism here. Like, they only brought four starters, I should say, with Greinke and Cole and Verlander, which sounds amazing. Wade Miley pitched in game 3, so he was unavailable for game 4. And so you're forced, in a sense, because they left Brad Peacock off, you're forced, like, to throw Verlander out there, and he didn't have it. You knew it from, like, pitch 4. He didn't have it. Should he get criticism for, you know, putting Verlander in a position that he had never been put in before?
I think it's tough because when you get to the playoffs, your roster's so limited, and there's so, I mean, the way baseball is now with all the analytics and the matchups, you're matching up from the fourth inning on in some games, so you need those extra bench players. So I don't know if the criticism would be warranted just for the fact of, like, what Verlander and what Cole and what Greinke bring to the table.
Yeah.
These are veteran guys. I mean, Cole's not so much a veteran, but he's electric out there. And I think those guys, that's what they sign up for. If you ask Verlander, were you tired or, you know, did you not have it? The first thing that's going to come out of his mouth is, no way, I was ready to go. I think when it gets to that, when the big lights come on, all the little aches and pains or, you know, the little stiffness goes right out the door.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Brett, I've tried to, for those who didn't play a ton of baseball, I try to paint the picture of what it's like in spring training and how laborious and boring it could be when you guys are going through PFP, you know. And
that's the worst.
That's got to be the worst. Basically, it's ground ball, throw to first base, cover first base. You do it all day. It's monotonous. Outfielders doing relay drills. That seems monotonous. But when you get the double relay from the gap, like we got last night, my opinion, that's the most exciting play in baseball. I love that Gary Pettis sent Altuve because so much had to happen right for that play to be executed and to nail him at the plate. Was that the right move to send him, in your opinion, or no?
Oh, I mean, I think so.
Okay,
I mean,
let's check it.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. I mean, like you said, I mean, I'll take it even more remedial. Like my Little League team, like I tell the kids, like a lot has to put the ball in play. A lot has to happen. They have to catch it. They have to throw it. Another person has to catch it. There's a lot of moving parts that have to happen. And when your game speed, the pressure's on the line, you know, it just takes pulling that ball a little bit or coming out of your hand late and he's safe. So I definitely think it's the right. You're trying to be aggressive and establish right off the bat, like, hey, we're here to try to win this game. Yeah, I think it was great. It was exciting to see. I mean, like, everyone wrote the Rays off from the get-go. So for them to come back and beat Verlander, I was shocked. When I got home and turned the score and it was 3-0, I was like, wait, is that a mistake?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't think anybody is expecting this. So I'm sure that the fans in Houston are a little bit nervous, but they got a pretty good one going on the mound tonight.
Oh, yeah, he's pretty good. And by the way, you know, if there was going to be a crooked number in the first, you would think that that 3 would be next to Houston, not so much with Tampa. I'm totally with you. Tiki texted me. He actually beat me home. And He texted me. I'm like, wait, they scored three in the first? Whoa, yeah. They scored three over Verlander. You got to be kidding me. It's crazy.
They might shock the world. You never know it. If they can get a couple against Cole tonight, and it's game five, so all hands are on deck. You're going to see everyone out there. So there's not going to be a starting pitcher or a reliever that's not going to be ready to go.
I wanted to ask you, though, quickly about the team that's waiting and resting and getting ready to face the winner of this. That's the Yankees, who are took care of business, swept the Twins despite all those home runs. Yankees own the Twins in playoffs at 13 straight. It is what it is. I don't know how much you got to really watch Severino in terms of what stuff he had the other night, but how hard is it to be removed from basically the entire season and now be thrust into October? Do you like where he is stuff-wise?
I mean, I think he's in a much better place than he was early in the season, and the Yankees are going to need him to perform. I mean, I think his stuff, I mean, he's a great pitcher. So, you know, at least getting a few starts under his belt before the season was over to roll into the playoffs, you know, I like where he's at. I think it's all going to really come down to the Yankees starting pitching. You know, offensively, they can put up some numbers, and they've had guys come up that weren't expected to come up and have, you know, all-star type seasons, and now they got Stanton back, and he looks healthy. So, you know, I like the way they're matching up. I didn't expect them to come out there and sweep the Twins, because I thought the Twins were a pretty good baseball team. But
they are.
You know, I really think it's going to come down to the starting pitching.
Yep.
To keep whoever they play at bay, so their big bangers can go out there and put up big numbers, which they did. I mean, I didn't expect them to come out there and throw up a 10 spot and games like that, you know, the first division series. But, man, they look like I was on the 2009 team when we won the World Series.
No, I know.
And there's a little bit of, like it kind of reminds me of the team that we had. We had just a high-powered offense. Well, I think we had better starting pitching with Sabathia and Burnett and
AJ,
Pettit.
Yep,
but, but I think they're set up, you know, to make a good run at it. I don't think anyone's given them enough credit, because everyone just assumed, like, oh, Houston's going to be in the World Series.
Yep, yep. I was at that game too, by the way. It was AJ Burnett versus Pedro. I think it was 4-1. But I was in the Bronx for that.
And Booney and I grew up together, and Booney's done a great job. I think he's done a tremendous job, you know, steering the ship with them and kind of controlling, because he's a baseball guy and guys respect that. So, you know, my hat's off to him for doing a tremendous job.
No doubt. Multi-generations of Boone baseball, for sure. It's Brett Tomko is with us here. Brett, former big league pitcher, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
All right. Now, Brett, you have this Believe in Dodgers podcast with the Dodgers dudes, which is you and Josh Luke. And I know you do a lot of perspective with the players and the guys that are actually there. Now, they have one of the largest payrolls in baseball. They have for a few years now. I think they're fourth at just over $200 million right now.
Yeah.
But we mentioned earlier, you know, the 2 years in a row for Roberts, it's, you know, you got to win one. It feels like for 5-6 years we've been saying the Dodgers got to win a World Series. I mean, they're paying for a World Series. They better win a World Series. From those guys' perspective, the locker room, what is their level of pressure like?
Oh, I think it's huge. You know, I think when the game gets going, you get in that mode of you're doing your job, you're staying within, you know, what you should be, and focus and doing what you have to do. But yeah, I don't think you can't help but to think about it. Like, you know, we're the team in the National League that everyone has penciled in the World Series already, and it's not going that way so far. So I think the pressure during the season, they were banged up and injured and having a lot of issues, and there were talks about, you know, how are they going to do this? They're not going to win the World Series. And it's hard to get to the World Series. I mean, it's not easy. So, like, they weren't to the World Series since the 80s before that. So I think the pressure is a little bit, magnified more than it should be. But, yeah, those players, I think for Roberts, because Dave does such a great job of you know, being that leader in the clubhouse, the guys want to win it for him.
Yeah.
And they want to be there, and they want to take, you know, a little bit of the pressure off of Dave and a lot of the scrutiny that Dave's got. So, which definitely, you know, talks about how great he is and what team or what guys think of him. But, you know, yeah, I can't imagine the thoughts going through their head today, walking in that clubhouse, like, we got to do it or we're packing up.
Brett, good stuff, man. Really good stuff. We're up against it. Brett Tomko, good baseball conversation. Thanks a lot, buddy. We'll plug that podcast again for you.
Anytime, man.
You got it. All right, Brett Tomko. Phil Niekro throwing out the first pitch for the Braves there. I don't think he threw a knuckler, though.
He didn't. He threw a strike, though.
Oh, yeah, he did. I mean, you want to – he looks the same. Check this out on YouTube. I'll show you during the break, Teague. He looks the same now as he did when he won his 300th game as a Yankee in 1985.
Wow.
He looks the same exact age. I mean, he looked really old then. He looks the same now. It's crazy.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.